So we're kicking off the series on face to face. Okay, so we're going to be looking at how God really comes and meets us. And I think the particular emphasis here is how God meets us in the extraordinary. But obviously God meets us in the ordinary face to face too. Just actually having the chance to talk to God is extraordinary, isn't it? Even if it's just talking about how much he loves us as our treasured possession. So today I want us to look at that, and I want to look at it in the context of the main thing, which is Jesus himself, and how Jesus moved in the supernatural and why he did, really. And so the title is Jesus the Miracle Maker, or you could title it Jesus's Supernatural Ministry. And as I was preparing, I found myself drawn not to any particular supernatural miracle of Jesus, but actually to how the disciples talked about Jesus when they were preaching in the Acts of the Apostles, and how they drew on what Jesus had done and how they built on it. And so I want us to look today at Acts chapter 2. So Acts, that's the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And I want to look at that first story where we hear how the very first message was preached about Jesus and his resurrection and his victory for us. And so I want us to look in Acts chapter 2, and I've asked if James can come and read that for us. So if you're finding out, we're going to start at verse 14 and we're going to read through Peter's message. Do you want to have the other mic? So from verse 14 through to verse 36. So
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great, glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, please listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you know, as yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For God did not ascend to heaven, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Okay, thank you very much, James. But I wanted just to get that whole context of the message that Peter brought there. So what's happened? Let me recap. There's that Jesus has died and been crucified. Everyone's seen that. Then 3 days later, he's come back to life again. One of the greatest miracles probably of all history. And not many people have seen that. The disciples have seen it. So it's happened a few weeks before. They've been praying and then they've been told to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has broken in. There's been supernatural signs of tongues of fire. They've been acting drunk because they've been overwhelmed by the Spirit and they've been speaking in languages they don't know. So there's a lot of supernatural things going on. And Peter then gets up to explain to the crowd what is going on. And he explains it and he goes through the argument. He first of all says, yes, it's the Holy Spirit that is. We're not just mad. Then he turns his focus to Jesus. And I'm going to spend most of my time today on that verse 22 where he starts off his argument about Jesus and he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited to God, by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him as you yourselves know. So he first introduces Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited of God. Do you want to bring that up? Okay. So the first thing I want to see here is that actually Peter used the fact that he worked and moved in the supernatural power as an evidence that God was with him. The nature of what he did, how he healed the sick people, how he stilled the storms, how he walked on the water, did things that showed that the authority he had. That was an evidence, and he was able to use that as the basis for his argument. The people will have known of that. He was known by these people. The people who were there were all devout Jews. Many of them would have been local. Many of them, those who'd come from other places, would have heard about Jesus, and they would have heard of him as a miracle worker. And you see, even some of the people who didn't like Jesus had to admit that he was doing some amazing things. Nicodemus, who was from the group of Pharisees, the Pharisees were particularly in friction a lot with Jesus because they didn't like the way he didn't keep to their rules. Nicodemus comes up to him in John's Gospel and says, actually, really, we all know God is with you because no one could do these miracles, the things that you do, unless God was with him. So even his enemies really had to admit, Jesus was in, this was God in them. They didn't understand how fully, but they had to admit it. And I think as we come today, I want to encourage us to use the fact that Jesus is a miracle worker, Jesus was a miracle worker, as an argument for who he is. I think I want us to let's be open to copy Jesus. There are things, and I know people have disputed some of the miracles. People have said, okay, he didn't walk on the water, it was just a spit of land. People have said, oh, they didn't multiply the food. It was just the people sharing their own food. He didn't really heal people. He just used special medicine that they didn't know about. Actually, I think if you look at it carefully, what happened in the time, you'll realize that doesn't hold water. The people who saw him walking on the water were the people who fished on the lake all the time. They would have known where there were spits of land. The people who had experienced the multiplication of food would have known it wasn't their own food. They went and sought him later on to try to get more food. He wouldn't have done that if that was their own food. And the people who were the healings. What about Lazarus? He was in the dead. He was dead for 3 days. The Pharisees couldn't have any answer to it. So what they did, it says in the Bible, they tried to kill Lazarus. Because that was the only way they could shut up the idea that possibly he wasn't a miracle worker. They stopped the person who was healed. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Jesus was a man who moved in the supernatural ministry, and that showed he was from God. And then Peter then goes from that. It showed what he said was relevant. It showed that his salvation came through. And that's, he uses this argument. He goes in this passage, he goes on to say, actually, look, there's this miracle you may not have seen. He actually came back to life again. And he uses the arguments that actually David had predicted that, and that the Messiah would come back to life. And actually he said, well, actually, that means Jesus is the Messiah. And that means what he said is important. And Jesus said he was the only way to get to God. He said he gives his life down for us. Jesus, the message is that salvation is through Jesus and only through him. And Peter calls that in his response. He says, repent for the forgiveness of your sin. And I want us to encourage that. If those of us who have experienced that, let's remember that. That actually all the things that Jesus did was to focus in on what he did for us, in dying for us and suffering for us. We were singing about it earlier. And maybe you're not sure about that as well. You're maybe visiting and thinking, okay, what is it? Actually, the whole point of Jesus being a miracle maker was that actually he's also the one who came and saved. And I want to encourage us, let's respond to that today. And the third thing I want to note from this first phrase about Jesus being a man accredited by God, that actually it's still the case. If you look in the New Testament, it was in Jesus' name. They always moved in the miraculous in Jesus' name in the New Testament. We see it. And actually, these miracles in Jesus' name, see, look in Acts 4, Acts 13, that they point to, they're a springboard. So often, Paul is there explaining this miracle and saying, actually, look, he's shown this Jesus is alive, therefore he's the one to listen to, he's the one who's got the answer. And I want to encourage it's not just he did it in the past, he's doing it now. He was doing it right through history. He's been moving to show his greatness. And what about his greatness? The second phrase I want to notice there in that verse 22 is, Peter says it was by miracles, wonders and signs. And as I looked on that and reflected on that, I think Jesus' supernatural ministry had various purposes and had took a variety of forms. The first word that Peter uses is a word that we derive the word dynamite, power. Dunamis. Works of power is probably the literal translation, and I think some versions say something like mighty works. It's actually the most common word in the New Testament when we just translated miracles. And I guess that picture of power is when almost the normal laws of nature get overridden. And I've already hinted at some of the things, like the multiplication of food, the walking on the water, stilling the waves. Also, lame people walking, deaf hearing, some of the most astounding healings also. And it's interesting, isn't it? And I don't know how many, some of us will have experienced something of the power of God occasionally. I remember the very first time I saw anybody throw away a crutch because someone prayed for them. It was a guy called Toby Johnson. It was a long time ago in Woking, in a hall not dissimilar to this actually, a school hall. And they were prayed, and he'd had a lot of problems with his back pain. And he had some afterwards as well, but actually on that particular occasion God really touched him and he was able to throw away some crutches. And I suddenly felt there's something awesome about that, isn't there? Suddenly you realise actually you've got a powerful God around you. When God suddenly speaks into your life, brings you a word through somebody that they couldn't possibly have known about, and suddenly you realise God is speaking, there's an awesomeness. The works of power are there to show that actually God is in control. He's the one who says, they show how great he is. Let's make sure that we, when we think about it, when we think about what he's done and what he's doing, help us to have that awe, because I think we're meant to. Only God, really, and Jesus, his son, should be bringing us awe. The second word that Peter uses is wonders. Now that isn't used very much in the New Testament, the wondering, things that are amazing us. And actually one place where people, certainly in my translation, is talk about being filled with wonder was after Jesus and had gone to the Mount, what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. So what happens is that Jesus takes Peter and John, he takes them up a mountain, and he's suddenly shown and filled, he's covered with a light. He shines with a light, sort of brighter than the sun. Moses and Elijah, saints from the old, come to be with him, and it's a real amazing experience. Actually, only Peter and John see it. The rest of the disciples are there still praying for people. And he comes down from the mountain. The people said they were filled with wonder. And it just struck me, why were they filled with wonder then? I just wonder that actually perhaps he still had some of that aura around him. I don't know, I can't prove that. And I think there's a sense sometimes God does things that just don't really add up in our lives. And God wants to, you see, he wants to show that we can never really fully understand him. Some of the supernatural things of God are all about that. There's one thing that at the moment I still don't fully understand about our family, and that is our lovely little boy Zeke. You see, we were trying for children for so many years. God provided children through all sorts of different ways, but not the natural way. But Zeke came the natural way, unexpectedly. We didn't even notice him. It's true, we didn't notice him for 6 months. And I think God must have, I think it shows me God's got a sense of humour, but it also shows me that I don't really understand why he does things the way he does. And that's what sort of supernatural intervention is about, isn't it? It's wonderful. He answers prayers. And I blame Holly for Zeke partly, but obviously God's in here. But you see, God's supernatural. He wants us to be that. And I think, I just want to pray, let's pray that as we go forward, we have lots of things we don't understand in our experience. Because actually I like that. I don't want a God I can understand. Because otherwise I'm bigger than him. I want to be someone who I don't fully understand. So Jesus' supernatural ministry, that had works of power, it had wonders, and then it had signs. And that word is used in other things. John, in particular, in his gospel, uses the word sign a lot. And what are signs? Signs are things that point to things. And I believe that some of Jesus' supernatural ministry, both then and now, points to something about his character and his values. You see, so often we read in the New Testament that Jesus had compassion on people and then he healed. I believe that that Jesus is working, it shows his heart for people. I think he fed the 1,000 because he saw they were hungry and they needed something. They were loads of miles away from anywhere. Jesus also gave signs to make a point. One of his first signs was at a wedding. And if for those of you who are married or have been to weddings will know that very often that point is made, actually, that it shows that Jesus values marriage. That's why, you see, Jesus did things to a point. Sometimes he deliberately healed on the Sabbath to make the point that actually the Pharisees had got it wrong. He deliberately waited for Lazarus to show that actually he wasn't just a healer, he had authority over death. Signs. And we should expect sometimes that the miraculous intervention will be a sign. I mean, the greatest sign of all, and Peter argues in the sermon, is actually the fact that he raised from the dead. If ever you struggle with, is this true, this gospel? I'd say go to Jerusalem and try and visit the places. They still don't quite know where the tomb was. But the great thing is there are two possible places, but both of them are empty. There is no body for Jesus because it's in heaven. And the evidence for the empty tomb is one of the things I think is the hardest for anybody to try to explain away other than it really happened. Jesus' biggest sign was that sign, which he said, I'll be in the ground 3 days and I'll come back to life again. He prophesied it himself. Jesus moved in miracles, wonders, and signs. So we've seen how the miracles were a good starting point for the gospel because they vindicate that Jesus comes from God. We've seen that the different nature of them. Some of them are there to show his power. Some of them show his own agenda. He's got his own agenda. Some of them show that his values and his character. And finally, I wanted to note from this verse that Jesus' supernatural ministry was visible to the world. You see, Peter said that all these things happened through God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He did it among the people. It wasn't hidden away. Yeah, a few things were hidden away. And yes, the resurrection happened later, but that was so the disciples had the responsibility of telling the resurrection out, I believe. But most of the miracles were well known. They were out there in the marketplace. And I just want to encourage us that we take this risk of the miraculous in the marketplace. And I know, Richard, it's been great to hear some of your testimonies as you've stepped out in the marketplace. Karen, who's not here today, also told a story recently of somebody who was in a shop in Farnham and I think it was his arm or something like that. Someone who's in our group might be able to remember the testimony a bit more. But basically, they had a pain, and he thought, actually, that's not my pain. And God sometimes does that. He gives pains to people because it's someone else's pain, because he wants to touch them. And so he went and prayed. He felt it was the person at the desk, and it was the person at the desk. God had been revealing things, and he was able to pray with them out in the marketplace. Let's be people out in the marketplace. So Jesus' supernatural ministry was among the people. And it was also known to the people. I made that point there. Peter could refer to it because it was well known. And you see, I believe that actually we should be well known for seeing God stepping in face to face supernaturally amongst us through Jesus. In Paul, towards the end of his life, he wrote to the Romans. He wrote a long letter with a lot of really good stuff in it. But towards the end of it, he says and gives his own testimony. He says, look, I've finished preaching the gospel in a lot of the known world. I've preached it from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, which is in Albania. So a good swathe of things. He said, I've fully preached the gospel. And actually, it was with signs and wonders. And I want to say, we need to preach the gospel that actually there's only one way to Jesus. But we need to be able to explain it by saying, actually, and this Jesus is the one who has healed people, who has touched people, who has spoken to people. And I know we're going to pick up on some of those things about how that works in subsequent sessions. So Jesus' supernatural ministry was among the people, it was known to the people. And I want to just exhort us, it's still for today. Now, I know some Christians struggle with that, but I want to say that actually, I can be confident in that. I've just shared a verse which says that actually in Paul's view, that was part of preaching the gospel. And I would say the whole of the New Testament would argue, and the bit that's written after Jesus' death and resurrection would argue that actually moving in the supernatural is normal. And even the verses that sometimes people say, well, actually, what about when the tongues are finishing, when we're face to face? Well, we've just sung it earlier. When the ransomed in glory, we will see him face to face. It's in heaven that some of the supernatural may not be needed, because we can see him. Now, the Bible endorses that for today. And also, you've only got to look at history, the wonderful ways that God has worked, even in our own land. When the gospel first came to England, through St. Columba, I believe, the Druids didn't like it. So I think the story goes something like this. They used their magic arts to create a storm. And St. Columba comes along, and in the name of Jesus, he steals the storm. Right from the beginning of the gospel in this country was the power of God. And you can go through in the Reformation, there was a guy called John Knox, and he was well known for bringing prophetic words to the people, the leaders of Scotland. It was a bit embarrassing for them, some of the things he revealed. The power of God amongst them. and in recent times, and in the 20th and 21st century, in the early 20th century, both in this country and in the States, there were many people who went around known for healing evangelism. It's been right through history, and it's still for today. And even, I mean, we've seen little bits, haven't we? Last week you were testifying about your arm, weren't you, Steve? So we've seen God working. And I think the challenge for us is that we do that today, and we do it in the marketplace. So in conclusion, as we start this face-to-face series, let's remember that Jesus' supernatural ministry shows he's from God. Let's not be afraid to do that. Let's not be afraid to be confident about his miracles in the past and today. And let's make sure that we've got supernatural in our gospel. Then we've seen a little bit about how the miraculous were works of power, they were works of wonder, and there were signs. And I just want to see, let's make sure that we're more in awe of God, that we trust him. I know it's a challenge, and I know I always find it sometimes a challenge to trust. But then think about it. He knows what he's doing. Listen to him. And let's try and have his character. I think that will unlock a lot of what we want him to do. If we have his character, then we will be able to show something of what he is like. And then finally, we've seen how Jesus showed his supernatural power in the marketplace. And I think the challenge is we want to see it. And if you need prayer today, we're happy to pray. We want to see it here, but we also want to see it and be prepared to pray out there with people who don't yet know him. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you were known as someone who worked miracles, but actually your greatest miracle was to come and save us, to die for us, and be raised from the dead. And actually that we can bring that message, and we can bring with it the hope and the power that you showed on earth, Lord. And we just want to help us today to be channels. Help us to experience you. Help us to know your salvation. And help us to be channels for you elsewhere, of your power. Amen.